He is good. We are today beginning our new series in Galatians. And as always, when I get into a new book, we're going to kind of be in the background stage here today. So I'm not going to get very very theological or anything on what's going on. We're going to set the stage for this letter. Galatians is a letter that is very very powerful. It covers some very important topics, and particularly the kind of the foundation blocks of Christianity. And Paul wrote this dealing with situations that had come up. And because of that, you know, he very strongly addresses the issues of grace and faith and the nature of our salvation and the relationship of salvation in Christ to the Jewish law. Some very important things there. And so as we look at this, we're going to have some of that background in mind. You know, throughout our study in Hebrews, we kept relating things to the situation that the people were in. Well, that goes along in the same way with Galatians, is that we have to understand the situation to make the best sense of what the letter is about. I actually went to Galatians because, well, for a lot of reasons, but I wanted to do some of Paul's letters, and this is not going to be the only one of Paul's letters we're going to deal with here. But I wanted to go to Galatians first because I think that Galatians is the first one of Paul's surviving letters that we have. This is the first of the earliest chronologically. Now, there are those who will disagree with that, and that kind of leads us into a little bit of the background of the letter. And I want to deal with a couple of things. First of all, the author is Paul. There's essentially no argument about Paul being the author. The only people who argue about that are some groups that have decided that basically everything in the Bible is interpreted wrongly, and so they accredit everything to somebody else. They have no real grounds for that, but they seem to like to do that. From the very beginning, this has been assumed that this really is Paul who wrote this, and there's absolutely no reason to think otherwise. Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians. But who did he write it to? And that's where it starts to get a little bit interesting, because there is no church called Galatia. Galatia is a region. And to make things more interesting, it is two regions. Now, we're going to our invisible map here, okay? In your invisible map, you've got the Mediterranean Sea, and you've got Israel down here. Yeah, it doesn't really have a real precise layout on this. Yeah. And so you've got Israel, and then up here where you come up, you've got the Black Sea up above, and you've got Turkey, which sits in here, modern-day Turkey. When we talk about Galatia, that region, there is up in the northern part along the Black Sea, northern Turkey and up in that area, Asia Minor, is what was called Galatia because that is where the Gauls, people from Western Europe, had migrated out of Western Europe and they had come and they had settled into that area. That's why it's called Galatia, is it was derived from the name of those people who in one direction it turned into the Gauls, and this way it's Galatia. Just changes in spelling and pronunciation a little bit because of stuff over years. And so up here in this upper northern area is Galatia. Well, that goes along for quite a while. Well, the Romans come in, and the Romans establish a Roman province, which they call Galatia. Well, it includes this up here, but it also takes in basically all of what is modern-day Turkey, down to the Mediterranean. And the Roman province of Galatia, most significantly to the New Testament and to the things that we're talking about, is that it takes in the cities of Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. These are a series of cities here in the lower part of that, and if you continue on eastward from that, you also get to the city of Tarsus, which ought to ring a bell with Paul, that he originally came from Tarsus. That was his home city. And we don't always think about this. When we think about Paul and his missionary journeys, his first journeys were into his home territory. And Paul's first missionary journey, he came up from he was saved down on his way to Damascus, and he goes back home to Tarsus for quite a while. When he goes out on his first missionary journey, he goes up and he goes through that southern Galatia region. And he establishes these churches in Iconium, in Lystra, in Derbe, and so on across there. That these are the earliest churches that Paul establishes as a missionary. Now, the fact that they are located in the kind of the closest region outside of the Palestine area, this is the closest region that Christianity spreads to, is particularly significant to the background of what goes on. Because what happens is that Christianity is coming out of the Jewish faith, out of the Jewish nation. This is a culmination of Jewish teaching and Jewish theology and the Jewish covenant, that God has finally completed what he has been doing with the Jews for thousands of years. It's now been wrapped up and finished, and this is the goal. And this is what Jesus Christ is. He is the finishing product of Judaism, of those covenant relationships and everything. And so the people that the message originally comes to are all Jews. And they are under a covenant of law with God, where they have rules and regulations and expectations. They have sacrifices and they have rituals that they're supposed to follow. There is moral and ceremonial law and sacrificial law and all of these things that they are supposed to do. And so as they come to believe in Christ, this is their background, is all of that stuff. And as they go up into these other regions and they start spreading the gospel, Paul is originally going to Jewish congregations, Jewish synagogues in these areas, in these cities. And he's preaching Jesus Christ to Jews. But along with that, the Gentiles in the area are beginning to hear the gospel, and they are beginning to believe in Jesus Christ, and they are coming to him for salvation. And that's where the problem starts to come up. Because the Jews, believing in Jesus Christ, a lot of them still stood on the law. And they felt that there was no way that anybody could come to God other than through the law. And so the law was an essential foundation for Jesus Christ and an essential foundation for faith in Jesus Christ. And so they said, if you want to believe in Jesus Christ, you also have to believe in the law, and you have got to become Jewish. And so they told the Gentiles, you've got to be Jewish. You've got to live by the law. You've got to be under the covenant in order to be saved by Jesus Christ. We'll talk a lot more about that as we go on through the book. But as Paul is preaching, he is basically preaching Jesus Christ as an independent solution. That Jesus Christ is an effective Savior whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. You don't have to have the foundation of the law to be saved through Jesus Christ. And so you've got those two factions that are starting to interact in these churches. And the particular thing is, you've got Jews coming out of Jerusalem, out of the area of Israel, who are coming up and are trying to get all of the Gentile converts to Christianity to become Jews and to follow the law. We call them Judaizers, they were effectively trying to make Christianity just a continuation of Judaism, which it fundamentally is, but there's some things there that make their point wrong. We'll get into that. I can't give away everything today. But the Judaizers would come, out of Israel up into here. These are Christians, incidentally. This is not a group of the same group of Jews who came up to persecute the Christians. Okay, so you've got Jewish Christians who are the Judaizers, and you've got Jews who are not Christians who come to persecute. They're both coming into the same area from the same area. And we do need to make that distinction. The Judaizers were not non-believers. We can't make the mistake of thinking of them as non-Christian. They were believers in Jesus Christ. And that's an important part of what goes behind some of this stuff. So don't ever forget that part. But Paul had gone through, he had established these churches on his first journey, and there are the Judaizers who come in, and Paul deals with that, and eventually Paul goes back to Jerusalem, and he talks to the disciples there, and he meets with the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, and there is a big church council that takes place, what's called the Jerusalem Council. It's the first significant Christian church council or synod or whatever you want to call it, where they made substantial decisions about Christianity as a body. And their big decision that they made there was that Gentiles could become Christians. They were not under the law. They were encouraged to or commanded to, as believers, to refrain from sexual immorality and from the eating of blood. And there's reasons for the particulars in that, and again, I'm not going to go there right now. We will no doubt get there at some point in the future. But that council took place in AD 50. Now, back to Galatians. The letter to the Galatians is addressing primarily those issues that were brought up by the Judaizers. And the way that Galatians presents this, it looks like it is written before the Jerusalem Council. Okay? Now, the fact that it's written before the Jerusalem Council would make it about AD 47, 48, probably, that it's written, and would therefore make it the earliest of Paul's letters. Now, there are a lot of people who feel, for some other reasons, that this is a letter which is written after the council and responding to things, and not written to the southern Galatian churches, but to northern Galatia. That it's written into these churches up here, and one of the reasons why I dislike that particular interpretation is because it assumes that at some point, not recorded in Scripture, Paul went and established churches in that region. Now, it's possible. It's possible. We know Paul wanted to go into Asia Minor, and he was forbidden by the Spirit from going into Asia Minor, and instead, he went west and went into Greece. But we know that he wanted to go there. And it's possible that at some point, that's not actually recorded in Acts, he went and did that and made a circuit up there and started churches. I'm not inclined to follow that. I don't feel that the arguments for the late date, and the late date, they like to say that this is about 56 or so, 58 AD, which puts it then probably fifth or sixth among his letters, somewhere in there. That also presents some problems in terms of the way that some of his ideas are developed. So we're going to, for the purposes of this sermon series, we are going to consider this to be Paul's earliest extant letter, the earliest of his letters that God chose to preserve for us. And we are going to consider it to be written to these churches in southern Galatia, that it is written to a group of churches that Paul founded and that Paul knew. There's a personal sense to the letter. These are not people that he is unfamiliar with. Now, we also have to bear in mind, as we look at Galatians, this is a letter which is written to a group of churches. Now, most of the letters that we have through the New Testament are written either to a particular church, say the Corinthian letters are written to the church at Corinth, or they are written to an individual, you know, Timothy, Titus, these are written to an individual, or maybe to sometimes to a group of individuals. But the idea that Galatians is written as a letter which is supposed to go there and then be circulated, that all of these churches need to hear this message. Think about what that means. This is a letter which is setting out some significant challenges to the Christian faith that are being brought up. It is refuting those challenges and arguing for a particular perspective on Jesus Christ and on salvation. What this says to me is that this was a broad problem. This was something that was a huge challenge to the church. This wasn't just an isolated thing. This isn't Corinth. This isn't the Corinthian church where we have Paul writing very aggressively to address problems in the Corinthian church. This is Paul writing to a whole group of churches and saying, you all need to be aware of this. You all need to think about this. This is vitally important for all of you. This is important that we know and we understand what God was doing through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on that cross, that this was something that applies to all of us, not just to the Jew. The fact that this is a broad-based letter going to a large group of churches, or moderately large, also tells me that because that was a problem across a big group there, is that these kinds of things tend not to go away over time. The challenges to Christianity that Paul is addressing in Galatians still exist in somewhat modified forms today, that we still deal with some of these issues, and we still need to think about the messages that are there, that this is something which has broad application at the time it was written, and it has broad application now. God preserved this letter for us because it speaks to us. And Paul presented these ideas in a way that is, to my mind, far less Jewish-centric. In other words, even though he's addressing a challenge which is coming from the Judaizers, he doesn't address it from the Jewish perspective as much as he addresses it from a perspective starting with Christ. And because of that, Galatians is going to have messages for us, things that we need to think about that are directly applicable in our lives today. And so we will skip the next two pages of notes. I knew I was not going to get as far as I had planned today. We will, starting next week, actually begin to go into the text and look at this. I want to finish just with the one note that Paul wrote this as a message from God. And we need to read this, and we need to study it, and we need to consider it and weigh it as a message from God. That this is God speaking to us through the letter that was written to the Galatian church. And it would not exist today had God not wanted us to be able to read and hear these things. So let's remember it as God's Word given and preserved for us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think about the background, the places where this letter was written and the things that were going on that led Paul to write, Lord, I just pray that we would be armored ourselves against the cultural things that can shape and push us in wrong directions. Lord, I pray that we would have our hearts and our minds opened to your truth as revealed in your word, and we would not allow ourselves to get led off on wrong pathways. Lord, I pray that as we begin this time of study, that this would be a really good opportunity for each one of us to draw closer to you, to be strengthened in our faith, and to become a better servant of what you've called us to be. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.